You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Love you all, and it's just profound to be part of such a healthy church that's doing so many great things and impacting the community in a way that they know that we're here. I love it. I love it. We know that the most important thing in our lives is our relationship with God. Most important thing there is, relationship with God. And so we know that we've got to be deeply rooted in God. And that rootedness isn't easy. We know that there are a lot of distractions, a lot of things that come our way that keep us from keeping those roots going down deep. And then sometimes roots will die and we aren't quick to replace them. The storms come, find ourselves uprooted, and we've got to redig and go down deep. We want to talk about being deeply rooted this morning. And we know that you've got to have the roots in place before the storm comes. A memory came to my mind about my cousin. His name was Danny, and he grew up with me just, about five blocks from each other. His mom and my mom were sisters, and very close. We both had two sisters that were, mine were younger, and he had one older, one younger. And we were the two guys, and we got to hang out. And tragically, he committed suicide in his 30s. And it rocked our world like nothing I can explain. I have a couple of photos of Danny. This first one here is with his mom and dad, his mom, my mom's sister. And I have another one here of Danny when he was at somebody's wedding. Just a good-looking guy, athletic, in fact, involved in a lot of different sports. One time when he was bicycling, he was hit by a car, and the ongoing pain was severe. There's just nothing like having to deal with pain management. In the midst of that, he got married, and it wasn't a happy marriage. And something snapped. It was completely unexpected. And I can't tell you how hard it was to walk through the loss of my cousin. The grief, the sense of, I should have been there. I should have done more. Just this sadness, just this loss, this kind of a depression, just a fog, not knowing what direction to go, how to respond, what to do, what to say, how to help the other family members, how to even understand, how to even reach out to God at times and try to figure it out. In the midst of this sadness and fog, it was like being at the county fair, being on one of those round and round rides, and it doesn't stop. It just keeps going round and round. Just a sense of not being able to get out of that emotional trap. And in the midst of this, they asked me to do his funeral. And all I can say is it was my first funeral. So therefore, my first funeral for a family member, and certainly the first funeral for somebody who had committed suicide. And I just had to go on a journey to figure out how I was going to do that. And one of the big questions I had was, how do you do this and not cry during the funeral ceremony? And I felt like if I would start crying, the whole place would just fall apart. And so I felt a lot of responsibility, and I felt like I had to figure this out. In the midst of this, I spent extra time with God, and I was quick to find a peace. I was quick to find an understanding because Danny had been a part of a local church and was walking with Jesus. I knew where he was. The problem is that we weren't there. I knew where he was, and I knew he was now free from pain and free from trauma. But we were left. But yet I knew we had hope, and I knew we had promise. And I felt a rising up, and I felt a place of authority. Remember it said that Jesus taught with authority? I found myself with authority. And as I prepared for the funeral, I found myself landing in a passage in Hebrews. And I found a boldness in the midst of so much horrific trauma in the families. And the passage was Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And I spoke out of that passage, and I spoke with confidence, and I spoke with a sense of reality, even though we were awash in emotion. And I got to tell you, I didn't cry. That's a good thing. I didn't cry. We made it through. And as I reflected on it, I could not have made it through that terrible experience if I hadn't been rooted and rooted deep. I'd known Jesus, walked with Jesus. I pray, I read my Bible. I had studied for ministry. I had gone. It wasn't just a religious exercise. And it wasn't just faith in something. I knew God was real. I knew Jesus was real. And I was walking with him daily. And so when the tragedy hit, well, it doesn't just suddenly change everything. You're still rooted. Even though things are tough, you're still rooted. And I found myself rooted in the midst of a terrible ordeal. And I know that we need to be rooted, and we need to be rooted deeply, and I know that we can be rooted deeply. And this morning, I want to encourage you to listen to some words from Jesus, and it's in Mark chapter 4, as he teaches us some things about being rooted. Would you please turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 4? If you don't have a Bible, there's some underneath the chairs. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take it with you, because the Bible is our book with the authority that we need. Mark chapter 4, Jesus takes a simple illustration from everyday life, a farmer. Now, they didn't have tractors and all kinds of fancy things, so if you were going to plant your field, you'd have a bag. And you'd have seed in your bag, and then you'd take a handful of seed, and then you'd spray it, and then you'd take another and spray it, and then another handful and spray it, and that's how you got your seed out there. Now, think Eastern Oregon as similar to Israel. Very dry, a lot of rocks, not an easy place to farm in some places. And so some of the seed isn't going to fall just right into deep, lush Willamette Valley soil, not in Eastern Oregon. And so Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach some reality about being rooted. And it's just powerful. And it's a very profound passage. In fact, Jesus taught the disciples about being rooted, and then they didn't understand, and he had to do it again, explain it again, so they would get it. And so we have the benefit of both the parable, the story, and his explanation to be sure we understand it. And so we're gonna really get hold of this morning. It's called in most of our Bibles, it's called the parable of the sower and the seed, or something like that. Mark chapter 4, in the first part, he gives three different obstacles to taking deep root. And so we want to look at those. The first one, starting in verse 3, he says, listen. Oh, you know, let's just stop there. Would you tell the person next to you, listen? I think we need to listen. We need to really get this. If Jesus says listen, we need to hear. And I think there are two or three people who just woke up, so that was a good thing. No, I'm just kidding. Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. You can picture this real easily. Some of the seed was on a path. I think of the path kind of like my backyard the last couple of weeks. Just kind of packed down hard, and the seed just kind of stays on top. It doesn't go down in. And so you can see a bird coming along and picking it up and eating it. In our yard, squirrels too. So we'll talk about that later. So Jesus explains this in verse 14. He explains that the seed is God's word, God's message, or what he's speaking to us. God speaks both through the Bible, of course, but he speaks personally to us through the Holy Spirit. And so there's both this word coming in the form of seed from God, from the Holy Spirit, personal, the Bible. Verse 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Right away, Jesus recognizes or reaffirms the reality of the demonic realm, the satanic realm. The devil is real. It's not just a cartoon character. These are things, there's a darkness that we deal with, and that satanic power wants to grab from you God's word, God's message to you, both personally and through the Bible. There's so many ways he does it. He keeps us busy, the distractedness of the life around us. And there's so much going on that it's hard to catch what God's saying. And I think the primary way that the satanic realm works is he twists things and turns them into a lie. He'll turn the truth into a lie. So God says, love one another. And that's a big deal. Love one another, period. But the demonic will come along and say, but that person hurt you so much, it's okay to have a grudge. Well, we'll worry about forgiveness later. What he did was so terrible to you, you just need to sit on that for a while. And so the word of God snapped away by what makes sense that we should hold a grudge because of what this person has done. The second thing Jesus talks about is back in verse 5, this second obstacle. There are rocky places, just a lot of rocks, very little soil. And so when the seed springs up, and it springs up real quick because it's near the surface, the soil's real shallow, and the sun comes and scorches this little tiny growth because it doesn't go down deep enough to go down deep to get the water. And you can really imagine this in eastern Oregon, where there's just some places, just a lot of rockiness, very difficult for a seed to take hold. Jesus explains this starting in verse 16. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. I like that word joy, because when God speaks, it's a lift, it's up, it's good. We want to hear from God. He has good things to say to us. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Here we are in the information age, the technology age, where there's so much coming at us all the time. Really, from our devices are on from morning to night. Televisions are on. So much information coming our way that it's very, very hard to set priorities. It's hard to tell what's important and what's not important. And so there's this temptation to go shallow. And then when the tests come, when the challenges come, we're not deep enough. There's just so much going on that we can't get deep. We can't get deep. And then there's a third thing here, starting in verse 7, a third obstacle to going deep. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. And we actually see these bushes with various berries choking out. They grow rampant here. And they choke out what we want to grow. Jesus explains it in verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. There's so much going on in our culture that it's easy for us to understand this thing of being choked. We see worry. And a couple of decades ago, I've talked with people and I rarely heard this word anxiety, but now I hear it a lot. The amount of information that we have causes us to have fear and uncertainty about the next steps. Talks there about the deceitfulness of wealth. Many of us have learned that there's little happiness in accumulating more and more wealth. The actual happiness comes in giving it away, doesn't it? And then another aspect here, he talks about getting more and more things, consumerism. And I noticed that there are more and more storage units available in the cities. As you travel, you see them close to the freeways, close to the roads, just all these storage units. And I always think to myself, it's just sad. People have so much stuff that we have to store it somewhere else. And sometimes there's a reason for that, but sometimes it's just too much stuff. I think for me, of these three obstacles that Jesus talks about, these three problems with planting seed, the one about being choked is the one that has affected me the most. And I think for me, being choked by a sense of not being enough has plagued me throughout my life. And it's not from God, because God says, I'm amazing. He really likes me, by the way. I know it's a surprise to some of you, but he really likes me. I'm just kidding. God really, you know, it's just, he just reaches out and just grabs hold of me. He loves me. But Satan will take that away from me. So when I was a kid, I couldn't catch a ball. There wasn't some kind of brain-hand coordination. And I wanted to play baseball, football. I wasn't very big, so football, I would have got killed. But I wanted to play those games. I wanted to play basketball. I was fairly tall for my age and for at my time. But I couldn't catch a ball. I learned later that I could run, and so I did cross country and track. But something inside of me said, I'm not athletic. I'm not enough. And then for some reason, I couldn't figure out that my looks were okay. I felt like I wasn't good looking. At that time, I had red hair. Yes, I wasn't always gray. I had red hair and freckles and a very light complexion. I had sunburn in a flash. I couldn't tan, but I wanted a tan. I valued a tan. I don't know, there was something about being tanned that was important to me. And I couldn't figure that out. And I just thought, I'm not enough. I was a student, but even though I got pretty good grades, I wasn't enough. I didn't get even better grades. There was something that said, you know, I should be able to do more. I should be able to do better. My relationship with God, I was taught that I wasn't good enough. Or I figured out that I wasn't enough for God. And in the religion of the day, I felt like I would go to hell because I just wasn't enough. And then with even going into early years of ministry, I carried it with me. I'm not enough. And it didn't draw from a place of self-confidence or self-respect or self-value. Some of those things had been snatched from me, and it took a while, but I had to decide what I'm going to root myself in. Am I going to root myself in I'm not enough and shame and guilt, or am I going to root myself in Jesus Christ? And that's the contest. I had to stop letting the demonic take that word of truth for me. I mean, Ephesians 2:10 is such an amazing passage. It says that we're God's workmanship, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to serve Him. And now I see myself as a masterpiece. I'm a Leonardo da Vinci canvas. You know, and can you, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Yeah. I mean, Leonardo really didn't catch it. I'm a canvas from God. And every one of you have been crafted, shaped, molded, perfected by God. And you're beautiful. You're gorgeous. You're handsome. And you are enough. But when I was rooted in not enough, then that flavored all that I did. And we've got to figure out ways to get rooted into Jesus Christ. And Jesus is warning, watch out about the Word of God that comes your way and you don't receive it. Well, Jesus does go on. Oh, there's something there in your message notes. If you have your message notes there and you open them up, you'll see a question there. You'll see a couple of blank lines. As God speaks to you, which of these are the most challenging of the three things that Jesus lays out? Which are the most challenging? And you can write that out there. And because each of us have some soil that keeps us from going deep. Well, in verse 8, Jesus tells us how. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus explains this in verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. I see three things here real clear. First, listen. First, he says to listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. It's always going to be in line with the Bible. Read the Bible and let it speak personally to you. Let the Spirit make it alive, personalize it for you. And as you hear what God is saying to you, and we do hear, He initiates it. I mean, it's not like us saying, God, I beg you to speak. He's speaking. I mean, He's given us the Bible. God is a highly communicating God. First, listen. And then second, we've got to engage it. I think a lot of times we do accept, we do hear, but then we think, oh, well, that's cool. Got some more knowledge now, or God said this to me or that to me. But we've got to engage it. We've got to say, okay, I got to do something with this. And then the third thing there is the production. There was seed the seed took root and resulted in 30, 60, and 100 times, you know, the grain reproduced. And what comes to my mind is James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. We've got to engage it and put it into practice. And that's how we go deep. But it's a lifetime, isn't it? It's a lifetime of listening, engaging, and doing. And so often we aren't very comfortable with some of those things. I've relied on knowledge a lot. I've listened a lot. I had an opportunity to go ahead and get a Bachelor of Arts degree, and I said, okay, I want to study for the ministry. I'm going to go to the best school that I can find that has both the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And so I went to Oral Roberts University. And then I said, okay, I want to get my master's degree. I want to go to the best school that I can find. And at that time, and it was still really, Fuller Seminary there in Pasadena, prestigious for its careful study of the Word and its emphasis on application. You know, you got to go do this. We've got to make a difference in our world. And so I went there, and boy, did it cost a lot of money. And but I did a great job of getting information. but my life didn't keep up with it. I had to learn through my journey that you can listen and you can even engage, but you've got to do. I had to do. And as I began to do more of what I had learned, then the roots went down deep. And that has changed everything. That has really changed everything. Now here at this church, in the doing, I love helping with small groups and the classes, recovery, and serving opportunities. And I get to do those because those help us go deep. Those help us to clarify what God's saying to us so that we can go deep. Because our roots have got to go deep. There's another place in your message notes for a response there. What helps you the most to listen to God, engage what he says, and persevere in your response? We got to get deeply rooted because the storms do come. We've got to get deeply rooted. And a lot of it happens in our community. It happens with others. I want to ask Tim Kimball to come and help me with this. Tim is owner of Kintech. He's the kind of guy you want to know when your computer crashes. And he's just an all-around great guy. Tim, you had some struggles a while back. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, all my life I have struggled with peace and giving things over to God, and I've tried to control things, and so I've always struggled with that. About 6-8 months ago, I was really, it was coming to a head, and I was really feeling distant from God, and I was having a lot of problems at home with my relationship with my son, and it was causing other issues, and it was really a really hard, dark time in my life. So, yeah.
What did you do? What happened?
Well, I decided that I really needed to seek God. I needed to draw closer to him, and I needed to not just come to church once a week and or twice a month or whatever. I needed to dive in, and I knew that God was there. But I wasn't doing my part. So I decided that I would join a small group and seek counsel and find some Christian friends and get some prayer. And I joined a small group, the Rooted class.
The Rooted class. We had fun.
We had a great time. Christian brothers. And in the Rooted class, there's quite a different sections in it, and one of the most powerful, maybe the most powerful thing in the Rooted class was a section that was about daily devotions. Mm-hmm. Throughout my childhood and all through my life, I've always struggled with daily devotions, and I've done it hot and cold, but they talked about that period, and it made me realize that we all have 24 hours in our life. Mm. And when I choose to watch TV, when I choose to sleep in, when I choose to work, and I choose to do those other things, I'm choosing those things above my time with God. And from that point on, I chose God. Yeah. And from that point on, using the SOAP process, which is even harder and more fun and more powerful, it's journaling, which I have never journaled, and I, it's a better, it's amazing, but I am journaling every day, and it is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and so now, in your day-to-day, what's the difference?
The difference is outstanding, and God is speaking to me. I start every morning just asking God that he would speak through me, speak to me through the word. And he's showing me, I mean, I've read certain things countless times in the Bible, but doing this process, he's showing me different things, new things, things that I've read over and over and over through my life, but he's showing me new things. And then he speaks to me throughout the day, and I hear him throughout the day. And he says, remember this, and remember this, and you know, calm down while you're driving. why are you doing this, you know? And, you know, it's amazing when other people that you hear on the radio or you're that are non-Christians or different aspects of your life, because you're more in tuned, because you're more rooted, mm-hmm. You start to see other things. And God is... you're just more in tuned. And so God is speaking and everywhere. And I just wasn't listening before. Yeah. And now I'm able to listen and hear him more.
That's beautiful. Let's say thanks to Tim. Thank you very much, man. That's really cool. Tim mentioned SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. They're blue and they're on the information desk. It's just a daily way to make it through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once in a year, and you can even just do the New Testament part. Rooted has been a pretty exciting experience, and we're going to have one. We're going to have more of them. We're going to have one in the fall. We're going to have another one in the spring. What we've discerned as a pastoral team is that when a newcomer comes to our church, there are so many doors of opportunity. There might be 10 doors of opportunity all beckoning, hey, come to mine, come to mine, come to mine. And for many people, they just don't have any idea which one to go to, which one's right for them. There might be a small group that's there, or a couple of classes, finances. There might be a serving opportunity that they're thinking about, but they just don't know. And so in the moment of being overwhelmed, they don't go to any of them. And we kind of feel like, okay, let's give people one easy door to go through that will help people to go into all the other doors after that. And so we've found that Rooted is good with that. Rooted exposes people to some of the basics of the church, how it works, some of the different classes. It talks about Genesis process. It talks about serving opportunities. It talks about Ministry Training Institute, and on the list goes. And then with Rooted ending, they can either stay in a small group, and in fact, the one we had ended up being a small group, or they can go on to some of the other open doors. And one of the things underneath it all is next. What's next? And we're going to continue to see that word more and more. What's next as we journey with Jesus? We're headed toward our fall launch, and we're going to help people with Rooted, but we also want to help people find other ways into groups and classes, recovery, serving opportunities, so that they can get rooted. We want to help people go deep. And so we're going to have, in just a couple of weeks, an expo. And it'll be in the lobby and in the patio. It'll be the first and second Sundays of September, and it'll be the first Wednesday night, which is the taco feed. So it'll be that whole week. There'll be representatives at tables that will be able to talk about their group or help people, a class or recovery or serving opportunity, whatever it is, or help people to get into one that fits them, because it's not too hard for them to find their way. And so you can look forward to that, and we're just giving ourselves to helping people get rooted in Jesus Christ, rooted deep, and it happens in community. What this expo is going to be is something like a super highway from the community and from the morning services into the small groups. And we're just excited about it. You can look forward to it. You can, if you're one of the leaders of a small group or class or something and you'd like to be a part of it and are not yet, let me know. And it's just going to be fun. So look forward to that, and look forward to the fall launch as we find as we provide ways for you to get involved, I just want to mention all over the place there's these Connect, Learn, and Recover pamphlet, and then the Serve pamphlet to let you know what's going to be happening. And they're all on the website, so don't worry about picking up the paper. But however, whatever's easier for you, be planning on a way to go deeper in the fall. We're just looking forward to that. Well, would you stand with me, please? There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul prays, and he talks about being rooted. And I want to pray this over you as we conclude this morning. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God, thank you for taking us to a deeper place of rootedness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.